Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Not as suave as Boban's new mustache, but hey, we're trying. It's the Hoops and Hepavisons podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host. We have Ruben Reddit. Mavericks, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. That's such a good mustache.
Oh, like, man, it's like the perfect amount of Gomez on Lurch's body.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's so good.
Yeah. It's like a dad mustache. I'm like, damn, that looks really good.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one that just looks at you with disappointment, and it actually changes your behavior. speaking of changing our behavior, but not talking about disappointment, we've got Squish41 on the call. How are you, Dick? Well, I guess you're redacted still.
Redicted.
Yeah. That's got to be. Yeah,
I should change it to that. See if
Squish.
Anyone notices.
Well, Squish, how are you?
You know, I'm all right. I'm exhausted from work, if I'm being honest. I can't remember what happened in the last 4 days because it's all been a blur of sadness.
I completely understand and have more empathy. But hey, we get to talk about Mavs basketball, which we're excited about. There's not a whole lot to talk about aside from, Jared Dudley is now an assistant coach. So now we have the oldest baby face I've ever seen. He's going to be on our bench. And you know what? I actually like Jared Dudley a lot. I've heard him on a couple of interviews, and he's definitely like he's like the first guy in a fight whenever there's a fight on the court. He's the first one to be kind of an enforcer. I like that kind of he's definitely a, you know, die for your teammates kind of intensity. And also it's just one less thing the Lakers have, so I'll take that as a win. But I haven't heard too much on why. Ruben, do you have any insight to what happened with that situation?
So apparently, like, LeBron and AD were lobbying him to come back to the Lakers.
Mm.
And I guess the team didn't want to pay him, like, anything. So he was like, okay, he's like, fuck it, okay, I'll just retire and become a fucking assistant coach. So there's been a lot of talk around the league of, like, just how much of a people person he is, which nowadays, like, if you're going to be a coach, like, you got to know how to manage people, which is great. Just saying he has a bunch of connections, like, in that tweet talking about, like, the people he's, like, played with, and it's like, fuck, he's actually played with a bunch of fucking really good dudes. You know, like, just a bunch of, like, just fucking all-stars and superstars. And so, I mean, I think that's another, like, feather in this new regime where it's like, okay, like, we're getting guys that have played in the league, we're getting guys that have connections still. You know, like, if a guy's unhappy, I'm sure Jared Dudley would be, like, on that shit, you know, to see if, you know, we can get him over here or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it, you know. I don't really know if he's going to be really an X-Nos type of guy or if he's just going to be kind of like another, like, you know, person, another people person, you know, to help with, you know, this new coaching staff. So
I think it's just a locker room presence move more than anything. I think he's good with players and good at just kind of keeping things not even keel, but, you know, on the wavelength they need to be. He's been around some high profile guys and is generally well talked about in terms of a locker room person. So I'm sure it's more that and just having a vet in the locker room.
Yeah.
He was essentially kind of doing that as a player lately anyway. So this makes sense.
It's the logical next step for Dudley.
And he was also a solid defender, so he's probably got some knowledge to bestow upon some folks too. So
I will say one thing I always appreciated about him is that he busted ass regardless of how awful the situation was. Because, like, you know, he was, I think he was part of the Steve Nash Suns teams, if I'm not mistaken. But then he was also on, like, some crappy Wizards teams and things like that. And, like, I have to go back on his basketball reference to go, because he was kind of a journeyman. But, like, regardless of what his role was, he always busted ass to wherever he was at. So,
yeah, so Jerry Dudley played for the Bobcats,
right.
Suns, Clippers, Bucks, Wizards, Suns again, Nets, and then the Lakers. And now he's mm-hmm. an assistant coach. So he's been around. Like, yeah. And he's East played
Coast,
with some.
West Coast.
Know, he's played with some, you know, really great players over the years. So, you know, I'm excited for it. You know, it's kind of weird, though, looking at our coaching staff and be like, wow, all these guys could ball out. You know, like.
Well, I think we're getting to that age now where a lot of our favorite players are now just front office guys. You know, eventually, like in about 10 years, we're going to be the old heads being like, man, I remember, like, because they're going to be like, you know, panning a camera to Michael Finley all grayed out. They're like, man, I remember Finley when he was a player. That guy knew how to electrify a crowd. You know, they didn't have the internet back then. And it's just our kids are going to be like, shut up, dad, like you're boring us. And they'll be in their space helmets doing turbo Twitter. I don't know.
Shut up about basketball, dad. I'm on Vine Talk.
Vine Talk. Vine's coming back.
Yeah, it's just very close up pictures of actual vines, and they've learned how to speak. Like they're just listening to plants talk to each other.
And also, like, we forgot to talk about last week, but also we signed Chrissy Tolliver. You know, to become
an assistant coach.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Bro, I've seen her highlights and she can fucking ball out, bro. So, like, literally, like, our entire team is just full of like, players that can just ball the hell out, which is really cool. It's crazy that she's going to be, I don't know if she's retiring after this year or what, because she plays for the Sparks. But, I mean, like, she was an assistant coach while being a player. Like, she was assistant coach for the Wizards.
Awesome.
Which I'm like, okay, I don't know how the fuck you do that, but, I mean, whatever works, so.
Yeah, that is a new way of saying player coach.
But yeah, not for real. For
two different leagues.
That's awesome. I mean, it's cool though. I like it. So, I mean, I like our. It's weird that I'm more excited about the coaching staff than the players, in somewhat. You know,
I don't know because I had a good think on this because a lot of times you know because there's been a lot of talk. You know, what was it? Lauri Markkanen is now a Cavalier as he. As he cuckolds minutes from Kevin Love, as Kevin Love sits on a pile of money on the bench,
the cigar.
I mean, like, hey, more power to Kevin. Jesus, man, it's so funny watching him just hate fuck Cleveland. I am not leaving. I'm not getting bought out. Are you kidding me? No, you're paying me every.
Someone has pissed him off there because on-court antics are incredible.
Probably Dan Gilbert, honestly,
so
bro.
Incredible. And just knowing what a tool Dan Gilbert is, like, it's so fucking good. Kevin Love's so like,
layers, bro.
A buyout? I helped you win your first championship. You're not buying me out of shit. Trade if you want to get rid
he's
of
like,
me, motherfucker.
He's like, you gave me this money, bro. Like,
yeah, you're not buying me out.
I love it, man. Shit's so fucking funny.
You let me rot away post LeBron. Haven't done shit about it, and you want to buy me out? I'm gonna sit here. I'm gonna throw an inbounds pass into the fucking sun, and you're gonna deal with me being a little bitch on purpose because fuck you. That's why. Pay me or trade me. You decide. He's holding them for ransom, and it's great.
Kevin Love is going to shoot a free throw backwards. Like, he's just going to, like, have no regard or any respect for the Cavaliers. At this point, I respect it.
Kevin Love's going to shoot his free throws from half court. Oh, wait, no, you're not allowed to step out of the, like, free throw area anymore.
That's right. That's
no, you're
right.
Not, bro.
He's just going to throw the free throw as high as he can.
Throws it into the stand.
Or just try to bounce pass it in.
Yeah, I like this. Hey, that's something we need to get on Twitter. Like, what are fun passive ways that you can try getting less minutes while you have a full contract?
How to play like a $3 player while making $30 million.
Yeah,
oh,
that's such a that'd be a good segment, actually.
All right, yeah, we'll
circle back. That'll be a running bit. I need to, and if anyone sees anything, please add us. But
yes,
I would like to keep careful tabs on Kevin Love's antics this season. And then
he's gonna moonwalk back on defense,
and then break them down.
On the podcast,
we can break them down on the pod,
or even like if we pivot to video,
how to play
on YouTube too.
Pivot to video,
yeah. Kevin Love spotlight of the week on a Dallas Mavericks.
I will find what he's done already if there's anything, and then try to do that. Oh my god!
Oh my god! It's so good.
It's called. It's the segment's how called. I believe in a thing called love.
And oh, this.
How to be a $3 man at $30 million?
Because he is in the depths of the darkness. Well,
oh man,
man. Holy shit! It's like 2008.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
Just listen to the rhythm of his. Nope, it's gone. It's yeah, about... no. just listen to the rhythm of. John Hart? Who's Hart? Who's the
Josh Pelican? Hart.
Josh Hart. Yeah, just Hart. Listen to the rhythm of Josh Hart. Okay. Hey, guess what? Spotify Green Room. It's an ad read, folks. Ah! Sprung it on you. Like a bear trap.
Anyways, scared.
It's a live audio sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. Spotify Green Room is free. It's a social media platform for sports fans. Join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. I'll be hosting a room at some point. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app. It is free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MFFL group or the Reddit Mavericks group or the NBA group. Apparently Mark Stein does a thing fairly frequently, which seems like a good time. That's
a known group, the Ridickheads.
What's up?
Or my lesser known group, the Ridickheads.
The Ridickheads.
Yeah.
The fuck up.
That's so good. Ridickheads. Much like how Slipknot calls their fans maggots, fans of Squish are ridiculous. All right, Jesus. Fantastic. So,
Oh my god,
Green Room today. All right,
let's go to questions,
please.
Let's fucking go. Yeah, let's pivot. Let's go.
Yeah, no Mavs news to report other than Luka with a hookah.
Oh yes,
Luka Doncic. Yeah. Luka Doncic is the easiest layup for nicknames in a while. It seems that he is smoking folks on the court the court.
This total aside or a part of this though, it's the meme of this player's offseason versus Luka, and they'll put like Ben Simmons working out. I saw one of Dame like after workout looking ripped, and then it's Luka with the hookah. And I'm just like, yeah, and it's gonna make you that much more angry when Luka still busts everyone's ass.
Well, and also it's like, dude went to the Olympics pretty much immediately after the postseason and did so much better than either of those players. Ben Simmons wasn't there. Ben Simmons is at a lifetime fitness pretending he can shoot a three-pointer. And then you got Dame Lillard, who just was a shell of himself through the entire Olympic stint and just didn't find his place in it. I mean, like, I'm a big Dame fan, but, like, he just looked like, I think that was more team, I think that's more roster problems than that was Dame's fault, but like he wasn't put in a place to succeed. But I don't know. I think if you drag a country to just shy of bronze for their first time ever being in the Olympics, I think you know what, that counts as a pretty good offseason, in my opinion. Dude's allowed to smoke some hookah. Jesus Christ,
love it. Okay, go to questions.
All right, sorry.
No, you're good. We had to get on the high horse real quick. First question comes from John. Scenario, fourth quarter, 99-99, with 5 seconds left on the clock. Ball's in your hand. I don't know why the fuck I'd be on the court. You're on the right wing. Okay. Timmons in the corner open, and he's been on fire. 6 of 7 shooting.
Yep.
Luka cuts the mid-range from the top, but he's 3 for 7 from the field. Both have shot about 50% the whole game. Who are you passing it to?
I do like Timmy in the corner. If he's 6-7, I mean, if he's 6-7, he's on fire. That's good, Timmy. I'll hedge my bets on that.
Yeah, you throw that ball. If Inferno Timmy is in the house, he must receive the rock.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I think I don't know.
Tell me why.
So for me, I'm thinking, okay, like Luka obviously hasn't had the best shooting night, but he's still clutch as fuck. You know, like I don't think there's a wrong answer here either way. Like if it was me, and like I'm making this pass, like I don't regret either way I'm going. You know, because like either it's going in or it's not. You know, so
both good choice. I just know the myth of Inferno Timmy, the legend,
Diablo Timmy.
We'll go 6-7 one game and then go one for fucking
man on fire, Tim Hardaway.
That's a good question, though, John. That's a really good question, man. Let's see. Next question comes from Punnable. Barring Tyrell Terry and Josh Green miraculously developing into NBA caliber players after receiving no playing time this past season, can the 2020 Mavs draft now be labeled as a failure? We should have gone for win now prospects, but we fumbled and picked long term projects instead.
I mean, I think that's a pretty fair assessment right now. I'd still like to give a season of not Rick Carlisle for these two young guys to see if they can develop into anything, because there's a whole, like, man, I don't know why they kept going with long term projects with Carlisle at the helm, because it's his least favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually kind of remarkable that Luka got past the rookie wall with him and Jalen Brunson for that matter too. It's going to be interesting. I hope Tyrell Terry can be a better, can be an actual contributor and not just garbage time minutes. That first summer league game seemed all right, but I don't know. Summer league looked really messy this year in a way that it hasn't really. I mean, like, it's never beautiful basketball, but it's like it looked worse this year. And I think a good portion of it's just like the timing of the season ending. And then like, I don't know. I felt, to be honest, summer league felt too soon. I don't know. But I don't know where you put summer league aside from summer. So,
well, and I think part of our hideousness on the court was this is arguably the worst summer league team for the Mavericks that I've ever seen.
It was pretty rough.
It was it was very top heavy because like Terry looked good, really got hurt. Hinton had his moments, was kind of a letdown. Omarui obviously earned a two way. He was solid, but
Omarui.
Onu looked lost the first game, but looked a lot more assertive in the second game and showed flashes of, all right, this is a project we can invest in. And it's like you said, there were some long-term project guys that were the talent, but there weren't very many. And then guys that will never see an NBA court.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I think maybe a lot of teams approached it this way, with the exception of like the Kings. The Kings were like, let's get our young guys in play. And, you know, I don't know, that's kind of like the longest yard mentality, you know, like let's beat up on some scrubs to really build some confidence, you know, going into the season. Davion Mitchell looks like Pat Bev 2.0, which I'm excited for.
And to your point, like in some of these teams, like there's guys that like Tyrese Maxey, bona fide NBA player, like he was getting burned in summer league. That would be like the Mavs threw out Josh Green and Moses Brown for summer league, which they could have, but they didn't need to.
I don't know. I think they were also just looking at it. It's like, this is really soon, and we would much rather have them healthy for training camp than we would to see what they, like this really felt like final audition for the 15th man spot. And it seems Nate did not make that, unfortunately. Yeah. What I'm really worried about is, like, I mean, Tyrell Terry's already getting hurt. Like, he was out all last year with, now granted, that sounded like it was probably more of a personal thing. Doesn't sound like it was medical. So either way, we're really, I just want to see, I want them to have a fair try. You know what I mean? I don't want this to be like the projects of, Mavericks past where we have this guy that's like, oh, this guy could be really good. And then he really doesn't develop until he's gone into another team that actually gives him minutes, you know, like, yeah. Roby was kind of that way. Jay Crowder was very much that way. There was just guys that we've drafted that have just done better offset. Now, I mean, granted, with all of that, there's also your Justin Andersons that didn't really pan out anywhere, aside from him getting hit in the face by a Morris ball.
That's really the most notable thing I can remember about Justin Anderson's career so far, is that he was on the wrong end of a...
God, he was... I don't
Marcus
know.
Morris fuckery.
Yeah. I liked him as a...
I liked it. That's not me saying I didn't like him. I'm just saying, that's the only thing I could remember. Other than our failed podcast ages ago, where we were geeked about getting Justin Anderson.
That wasn't
that's
me.
True.
We
had two episodes of that podcast.
Two episodes of a podcast called The Mavengers.
Yeah, it wasn't well thought out. I'm very happy to be here. It's good to be humble, you know.
But yeah, I think, you know, I think it's a little too early to say that it's been labeled as a failure. I still think my podcast. No, talking about the Tyrell Terry and Josh Green. I feel like I have to give guys like until their rookie contract is up to really like, hey, okay, like right. This dude was a fucking bum, you know? Like I have right. to wait. Like the only exception to that is Anthony Bennett, because that dude was bad from the get go. Like he can
not
shit.
It's man and just set up for no success. Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like I wonder if that dude was drafted 20th, would he have had a better career? You know yeah. what I mean?
No pressure.
Like, well, and because he was drafted number one, he was given a lot of opportunities and just like, I don't know. That's just it. Yeah, that was probably the biggest head scratcher. At least like Michael Olowokandi was like a tall.
Yeah, at least a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he, oh. you know, he rebounded at least. Like, yeah. I don't know.
You got anything to add, Squish, to this question?
I'd say, like, I can't declare the draft a failure either. I think Josh Green being held out of summer league and Terry being held out after an injury that I feel like he I don't know. What was the injury? Does anyone know?
I don't remember. Can I tell you?
I don't know.
It just seemed like, and this was my read on Terry. It's like, you know, we saw progress. He looked offensively pretty nice at times in that first mm-hmm. game. And then, you know, he's just smart. And then holding Josh Green up, I believe that's a sign of the team sees something in both of those guys. So I'm still willing to kind of see what happens. And we've also had years of weird Rick Carlisle rotations. Yeah. So I'm very curious to see what will happen with these guys. And, you know,
new regime, yeah.
the turnaround of last season to this one is not a very long one, so they're holding these yeah. guys knowing the real deals around the corner is part of it. I don't know. I'm curious to see what'll happen, but yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say it was a failed draft just yet. And we'll see who gets some burn once it's time to actually yep. play.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Dalton, the Texas Waffle. He asks, why is it that every time I look down, I see my feet?
That means that you have a flat stomach, and good job on doing your cardio.
Yeah, well, and that your eyes are functioning.
Well, it also means that you have object permanence, so that's good.
Yeah.
Because like, my baby doesn't have that yet. So.
Oh, that is one of the funnier things when a kid gets surprised by something that was always there. Where did my feet go? Oh, there they are.
And I'm excited for when he can actually start playing and being like, what the fuck, where do you go? But, yeah, let's see. On a more serious note, though, he asks, any shows you guys are currently watching?
I've been binge-watching Sopranos. I bought HBO Max to watch Space Jam, and so in order to redeem that actual purchase, I'm watching a good show instead of that terrible garbage can of a movie.
I should give you my login, bro. What the fuck?
It's not good. Well, no, I like to feel like an adult occasionally. I have my own login for something.
Your login stuff.
Yeah, I will say though, the new Suicide Squad made up for Space Jam, no question.
Oh, that was so good. That was great.
That was so good.
Absolutely. But it's not really a show, but I watched one last night. It was part one of three. The R.L. Stein Fear Street thing on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's That's brutal. Cool. It is. Really? I, it's man. It is. So what I didn't know is that it's based off of an R.L. Stine like teen novel, not his Goosebumps stuff, and it's a lot more about like the occult and a lot more
adult themes.
Yeah, it's more about like witches and covens a little bit more. It's also just remarkably violent. And it's it does the good. It pays homage to former horror movies in a way that seems like a nod of respect, not just cheap ripoffs. Like they really try to make a good product, and they actually do a good job of. One thing that horror movies forget to do is get you to root for the person, so you don't want them to immediately die. You want to feel something when they die. Like you want to be like, oh man, that kid was about to go to college or whatever. Or like, yeah, this sweet janitor just bought a donut for a baby. I don't know. And then like you gotta give us something to feel. And like they did a pretty good job considering it's like a kind of a take on like the first one's 1994, so it kind of plays out more kind of like a Scream, Buffy kind of feel to a haunted high school, something or other. So that's not really a show, but it's a good time. I certainly enjoyed it.
Cool. Let's see. I have been. So my fiance was like, "Hey, I've never seen Rick and Morty. Let's watch that." So we like, and we never binge. Like she never binges stuff. She just like it's just a tension thing and. Mm-hmm. We sat down and watched like all five seasons or whatever in like 3 days.
It really does. It's really good writing. I can't hate on it.
I know. And now it's like obviously like the, you know, like it's always like, oh, like, you know,
it's,
you know, neck beards and, you know, people on Reddit and stuff like that. It's like, that's true. But like every fan base has that type of, you know.
Yeah. I hate that it's been kind of co-opted by the incels, I really do think it's clever writing and is very smart and fun.
So that, and then we've been finishing up Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it's the last season.
Another good one.
That's been, it's actually this season, because I was worried because obviously like they're ending the show for the season. Obviously everything has happened in the U.S. this past year and stuff like that. So, but I mean, it's been, you know, they've tackled these issues like actually pretty head on, which I'm really was actually surprised about, which is cool. Nice. And the last thing we've been watching is Ted Lasso. So, which I think if you haven't seen Ted Lasso at this point, like you really should.
I haven't. Cause I just don't know how Apple Plus works.
Every other streaming service. Yeah. It's $5 a month away. Let's see. Anything you're watching, Squish?
It's just been such a shit show ever since I got back from vacation. Like work's been cleaving my soul from my body. pandemics are so much fun. So I was glad Don mentioned the Suicide Squad because I legitimately couldn't remember what the last anything was that I sat down to watch. And it was that, and that was excellent. And then scripted shows of any kind. Well, I guess depending on how you feel, but no like narrative shows, I should say, like movies or TV shows. I have been going down an AEW wrestling rabbit hole recently, though.
I knew it was gonna come up.
Yeah. I've been watching wrestling a little more AEW, but I've been meaning to get into AEW, and that's just been satisfying, just because watching. I mean, it's great performance as a theater person. It's just dangerous stage combat and over the top campy storytelling, and some of it's pretty badass, but
it's a soap opera.
And I've always liked wrestling, but AEW's got some really good shit going on, and they've brought in a few of my favorite guys that were wasted elsewhere, but
fair enough.
Yeah, that's been fun. You know, I've got a lot of pent up rage, so it's kind of fun to watch people beat the shit out of each other for a couple hours. And otherwise,
and not feel guilty about it, like when I watch UFC. This poor man, he isn't going to be able to eat solid foods again or
his
walk.
His nose is coming out of his ear. just distracting myself with video games I can pick up and put down, like Apex or 2K. So
what you got to do? Next question comes from Jose. Kind of in the same vein, are there any movies that you've gone out to see recently?
I haven't gone to watch a movie. The last movie I saw in the theaters was actually Nightmare on Elm Street. A buddy of mine, she rented out an Alamo Draft House, or No, it was like, I think it might even have been like an AMC or something. But we rented out a theater for like us and like 20 people and had an awesome time watching a horror classic. So awesome. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I haven't really been to the theater. Last time I went, I rented out the movie theater to go see Godzilla. That fucking ruled.
Sure.
It's weird though, because like since I've had my kid, like we do kind of like, you know, watch stuff together, but like I haven't really, we watched Suicide Squad together, but I haven't actually gone out. Some movies I do want to go see, like Free Guy looks fucking awesome. I know like Bibbs was like, this is great. And most of the time me and Bibbs agree like on like movie stuff. So that was one I really wanted to see. I heard Candyman's pretty good, but I'm not too much big into like horror stuff.
The original Candyman I thought really held up when I watched it. Like I watched that was on Netflix fairly recently. And I watched that in like within the last year. And it's brutal. I don't know what you really need to improve on it aside from, I don't know. There's sometimes when I see certain movie remakes where I'm like, does this need a new update? Like there's some that I could be like, I can see how a different story is being told. This yeah. one, I don't quite, like, it's still, it's, I don't know. It's, I'm also in the point now where I realize that I think about it. I'm like, the 90s wasn't that long ago. And it's like, that was closer to 30 years ago, dude. Like, yeah. That's closer to 30 than 20.
All of us are in our 30s, dude. Like,
I know. And it's weird. It's just like when I think of Candyman, I think of like, ah, yeah, I saw that at Blockbuster. And then I just like, oh man, that's like me saying, like, I was playing marbles at the soda fountain. Yeah, it's like that might as well be that old.
Yeah. So have you seen any other movies, Squish, besides
movie? Well, I mean, I didn't go.
Oh, I know. Yeah. See it.
You know, the last movie I went to a theater to see was and I think this came up a few pods ago, honestly, the 10-year anniversary kind of Dolby remaster of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, cool. Yes, you did go see. I didn't remember you
went to that. That was outstanding. That's one of my favorite movies ever made. And the new audio was very nice. Felt like a concert. It was great.
That's awesome.
That was
awesome. Awesome.
That was like 4 months ago now or something.
Back when the pandemic wasn't as bad.
Back when it was winding down.
It looked like it was going to wind down. Yeah. No. Let's see. Next question comes from Junior. Who should I take in my fantasy football with the first overall pick?
Troy Aikman.
No, don't listen to fucking Squish.
Johnny Football.
Yes. No. Yeah. let's see. Is Michael Irvin still on the board? No. Or is Keyshawn still on the board? Retired for 10 years, but yeah, he's available. So I'm drafting second overall it's a three-headed toss-up for me, because it's like basically whoever the first person's taking, like I want Dalvin Cook, but just because I think the Minnesota defense is going to be better, so they're going to be running more. Like their offense isn't going to be as good because they're not going to have to score as many points as they did last year, but I think just Cook is just going to be like, whenever you draft first overall, you got to go for floor. I mean, obviously, PPR has... I'm a big fantasy guy, sorry. And so, like, really, I think Christian McCaffrey, he's so... God, that dude does not have a great injury history. And I think Alvin Kamara, you have a lot of like, he was my running back last year, and I was very happy with him. But, like, that was still with Drew Brees. That was still with a pretty solid their defense wasn't that great. But either way, like, I don't know how many opportunities Alvin Kamara is going to really get. So I would say, you won't probably be disappointed, but like you really want to aim for floor and aim for as much consistency as you can with that first overall. That's my approach to it.
Oh, I was looking at the one draft that I finished. The first first seven guys picked were running backs.
Yeah.
So definitely go for running back.
Yeah,
I think everything seems done. I think you can't go wrong with, you know, McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, or Alvin Kamara. Honestly,
yep.
Derrick Henry even too. I think, you know, that'd probably be a surprise first pick, but it's still a really good fucking pick.
Pretty consistent. Strength of schedule is another thing too. Minnesota's got a pretty weak strength of schedule who they're facing. So that's another thing I factored in.
Another guy in this draft picked McCaffrey first overall, looks like. So
I mean, I'm strongly considering Zeke, but I don't know. I get too swept up in the Cowboys narratives, and they always find a way to fucking disappoint me.
I try so hard not to draft a Cowboy every year.
Yeah.
Like I make too mad. Like, it's like, I don't want to get double mad, you know?
Right. That's fair.
All right. Let's see. Next question comes from, it says Santiri Tasmo come to Dallas. Okay, cool. Now that no Laurie is confirmed, and if Dallas doesn't get Goron, how do you guys rate the offseason?
I thought about this. I actually don't mind that we are kind of trying to stick with consistency, because we already did a shakeup of the front office. So it's good to have, like, at least the rosters pretty much the same. I think something that I thought about is, like, how much we got improvement from addition by subtraction. I think Josh Richardson minutes being replaced by Bullock. I think, like, Hinton didn't have a whole lot of playing time, but if you were to put that with Sterling Brown, I'm good with that. You know, so if you got, like, Sterling Brown and Bullock making up for Trey Burke and Josh Richardson minutes, I think that's a very narrow, but an improvement. You know, there's not going to be, like, just that, like, neither of those guys really handle the ball that much, so they're not going to be turning it over, which is important. So I think I'd still give it a C+, because I'll give it a passing grade. I'm just not, you know, it's nothing to write home about.
Yeah. See, I would give it a C, a solid C. That's like 75. Mm-hmm. Out of 100. I mean, cool. We added two guys that can hit, you know, 40% plus from three, on limited attempts, it looks like. But I mean, that's cool. Again, Rayan Richardson, cool. Moses could be something. Because I know it sounds like we didn't even want him, but they just threw him in there, which is like, okay, cool. It's like, it's almost like getting like an extra fry, you know, or an extra burger.
When you get bonus fries at the bottom of the bag,
and you're like, cool, like, you know, feeling, like, yeah, it's like, cool, like, you get something extra. I don't know. I think overall, you know, resigning Timmy was really important. He even took a pay cut, which is crazy. Not a pay cut, but like, he was like offered more and decided to come here anyway, stay here.
Timmy I think a lot of people have kind of PTSD from the Wes Matthews contract, and like the fact that Timmy plays kind of the role that we really wanted Wes Matthews to hold, with less defense. He's a better offensive player. I want Timmy to be really the local hero that we really need, because that dude basically, yeah, he gave a hometown discount when he didn't need to. Like, I don't think we praise him enough for that.
But I think overall, I'd still give it a C. And sure. I think a lot of this is kind of also because, you know, they basically punted the ball the last couple of seasons too. And,
right,
you know, we should have made really good moves at that point, but we didn't. So, yeah, I'd give us a C. What about you, Squish?
I'm sitting on a B- right now, personally, just because I'm very hyped on Moses Brown. I think a lot of people aren't as familiar with him and what he does and how he gives us something that we do not have or did not have before. His rebounding alone gives us something that we have never had, in my opinion. Just having dove into the Moses Brown highlight rabbit hole. Big, strong dude with an actual motor. Like, he plays hard. And a lot of room for improvement. I think there's a lot more upside there, regardless of if the Mavericks wanted him or not. I feel like we probably did. I feel like Boston was trying to make us take on more, and they were like, no, just that, or we're done. And they were like, fine. And they sent us Moses because they were going to pay Time Lord. They didn't have room for two, you know, young up and coming centers, and they went with the dude that's, you know, proved himself in their eyes, maybe. But yeah, I think Moses is going to be cool. And, you know, 240 plus 3-point shooters is a big deal, but I think Bullock is going to prove himself an upgrade over Josh in terms of the role we had Josh in. Right. I think Josh would try to do too much oftentimes last season. Right. And it's B, and where it dips into the B- is we still haven't addressed, you know, the the extra playmaker shot creator need. Yeah. And I think we're either banking on some growth from Brunson, or you know,
or Burke,
Burke. The Dragic deal needs to work out, and I feel like it will. It's just a waiting game. And
then, when it's gonna happen? You
know, if we get him, then we're in this solid B to B plus range for me.
Cool. I like it.
So,
yeah,
we'll see. And I just, there weren't a whole lot of options.
No,
this free agency that I really wanted us to swing that hard at. Like, I thought Lowry would have been cool. At the same time, I might. This is my opinion.
It's such a win now move.
Paying Lowry that kind of money, in my opinion, is different than paying Chris Paul that kind of money. Because this is Kyle Lowry, not Chris Paul.
Yeah,
Chris Paul's far superior, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
DeRozan would have been cool too. That would have been.
I would have been cool with that. But he wanted to go to Chicago.
He didn't want to come here. That's the thing. Yeah. People have to want to come to team. So
that's like the other two that has to fall.
We've done okay with what we had to work with.
Yeah. Next question comes from Domino's. I love this. Not really a question, but I think LeBron's going to buy the Mavs from Cuban in the near future. Dallas Cowboys fan, preparing for retirement, has his close friends, Kid and Dudley, with the team already, pegs Luka as the first guy on his brand. His quote-unquote revenge is by literally owning them. That'd be hilarious.
I think we were overestimating how much money LeBron actually has. Like, considering how many different industries that Cuban is responsible, you know, that Cuban benefits from, in addition to like how expensive an NBA team is. Like, you know, was it Dwayne Wade, who's made millions upon millions of dollars, is like just like a fraction of an ownership group of the Jazz. You know what I mean? Like, that's how expensive it is to actually, like, because LeBron, I don't think, is a billionaire, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me see if I can look this up. Let's see.
He does have a lot, like, he does have a lot of, you know, business interests. Like, he's got, like, I know he's got certain franchises under his name. I know he's got huge shoes and endorsement deals, but I don't think he's at like Michael Jordan level yet, is he?
So Forbes estimates James' net worth is to be about $850 million.
Right. So, okay, like, he's not far from it, but but like, if the Clippers, who are coming off of one of the most like publicly embarrassing scandals, sold for $2 billion. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, that's, the Mavericks are going to demand more than that, specifically since it's Cuban's baby. You know what I mean? Like, there's, the value of NBA teams is so astronomical. It is insane. Like, that's, I guess that's the main thing. Think it is a very funny thought of LeBron owning the Mavs, which is very silly. Appreciate the thought, but I think also we're talking about some pretty astronomical numbers that are pretty hard to actually happen.
And the other thing, and these scenarios in terms of their likelihood aren't as far apart as you would think if you really think about it, but Cuban will let his front office do their job unimpeded before he sells the team to anyone else.
We can only hope.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be cool if this were to happen, just because it'd be fucking hilarious. Like, he gets like the last laugh of like being, you know, owned in 2011, like just getting absolutely destroyed in 2011.
I think what would be a more likely case is that Mark Cuban buys Cuba. Like, he just becomes, he finally serves his sole purpose, which is to become Mark Cuban.
Become a Cuban. I mean, it's cool, whatever. I mean, those are good theories, but I don't think, if it ever happened, it has to be like he'd have to like a part ownership of the team. Like, and I don't think Cuban is going to do that. So
Cuban sells the team to himself.
But yeah. So next question. Next question comes from Cher. Are the Mavs going to be in the play-in? And then she says, guess what? Rondo is going to be with the Lakers. Life in the Western Conference. Yeah.
Let's take him.
I can have him.
Yeah. Listen,
he's just sleepy Pat Bev to me at this point.
I feel like, I don't think we'll be in the plan this year. I don't see that happening unless, like, God forbid, something bad happens with our star player.
If we're healthy, we're not in the play-in. It's not happening.
Yeah, we should be in the playoffs,
So, but I think the play-in will be fun to watch this year, because I wonder who's going to be fighting for that.
I think it's a good idea. I don't see why not. Because, like, to be honest, like, I hate the whole, like, all right, you're playing all these 82 games, and then you're just having to do all these, like, equations at the end of it. Like, that was never very that interesting to me. I mean, well, basically, you get to do that twice, you know? You get to do, and also, like, the Steph, Golden State and Memphis games were awesome this year, you know?
The thing that just hit me like a vision is, in our lifetime, if they keep the play-in around, we're going to see some kind of Cinderella run where the worst play-in team wins a fucking championship.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening, but...
I bet it will. What do you want to bet? It could happen next year when the Mavericks are the worst play-in team.
Don't say that.
I'll take that action. Dude, let's bet $100 on Vegas. That's one thing. One thing I want to do is have enough disposable income to where I can just start betting $100 on future bets. You know, because like all those MVP bets are like, they're all like 30-1 or whatever. And it's just like, it's $100 that like, again, whenever I can just miss $100, which, you know, I'm not in that spot right now, but if I can just be like, yeah, just put $100 on it, see what happens. Yeah. And then that just turns into, you know, 3,000 if I hit it. Like, it's a great time. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, I just got a call from my bookie. I'm doing well. Like, I don't know. That's maybe it's the fact that I listen to Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal too often that's
their betting pod. Their betting podcast.
Yeah. just Bill Simmons. But either way, go ahead.
Next question comes from Gabriel. What do you guys think will be the hierarchy of bigs? Because we have almost 75 bigs on the roster.
I guess Porzingis counts as a big since he's tall.
The Kaijus are all at the top. We got KP, Bobby,
right,
Moses, then everyone else.
You're really putting Moses over?
Unless Dwight Powell comes back.
I'll put Maxi over Boban.
Healthy Maxi? Sure. Is that'll be a treat.
So I'm thinking like tiers. Like KP obviously is that first tier because, you know, he's the most versatile shooter, I guess, out of all those guys. And he can still block a shot if he's healthy and confident.
A good, healthy offseason. I mean, like, he's posting all the pictures of him working out. I mean,
which gets destroyed on Twitter every day when it happens.
I know, but still, I'm hoping, I really want him to be Knicks Porzingis. I want him to have that same mentality of just, or like,
bubble KP.
Exactly. Like, let's get actual KP, let's get starters, like, getting paid like a star and owning up to it. I think he got butt hurt last year, and actual hurt, not just his butt. And sure enough, like, I think, if that is technically an upgrade, you know what I mean? Because we didn't get real KP last year, is how I look at it.
No, we didn't. Let's see.
Butt injuries are real injuries too, Don.
That's true. Listen, I'm all quads and ass. Okay, that's like I'm like 40% ass and quads, so I understand. Like, a real pain in the ass is a real injury. All right. However, it is very funny to get a prescription for it. Take 2 in the morning for pain in the ass.
Well, I was going to say, I definitely put like KP at the front, like the very top. And then below that, I mean, like, a lot of the talent level is kind of, you know, kind of all over the place at that point. You know, I'd probably put like Maxi and Dwight there still, you know. Well, Boban probably round that out.
Well, and it's funny. Just, I'm trying not to lose this thought. It's the only reason I'm interrupting you. It's literally like KP, and then the next tier is really just situationally beneficial guys.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah.
Oh, where would you guys put Willie?
I don't know. Tier.
Like C, probably.
Are we putting him over Dwight?
That's the thing. So here's how I see it. I think KP top tier, then this middle tier is all your situational guys, which for
me, it's like, weird. Right. Yeah.
You got Maxi for the Swiss Army knife of things that he brings. Mm-hmm. You've got Dwight, if you need that spark, real man. He hustles. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not the best defender, but, you know, he's going to play hard. If the team's sluggish, like, that's a benefit. Sure. Boban is just giant and skilled. Mm-hmm. Moses is just giant, athletic, and very good at rebounding. And I put Willie a tier below, and this is not a knock on his skill, because I think having Willie's good. He's shown flashes of being good at defense. My thing is, I just don't know what he does yet.
Right.
And that's been the thing, like, his whole career. Like, there are nights where he's like, oh my god, his rim protection, outstanding. Like, he's rolling well. It's just, and then the nights where he's missing two dunks a game and shit like that, and or just kind of doesn't know where to be. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what Willie's role is yet. The other guys have very clear roles.
True. Yeah. Okay, I get that.
I know what they do.
Yeah.
I know where we can use them, as opposed to, like, I don't know. And I guess Willie's a defender.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what he does. And I think a lot of that was his sporadic use from our previous head coach.
Yeah. Right.
Lots of knock on Willie himself. And yeah, the C is more of a question mark. Like, or the SAC tier, like there's an ABC, but yeah, if he's in the tier below, it's because he's a question mark. And I put that on an undefined role more than a lack of talent or skill.
Yeah. Good answer. Let's see. Next question comes from Redacted. First off, why is Squish41 such a dweeb ever since he returned from suspension?
Wow. I'm so glad I asked.
It's one, it's Bo Burnham's fault, too. I mean, I would imagine Twitter jail changes a man.
You would be correct. The Dementors and the... No. I asked that question on purpose because it has come up not enough. I mean, nothing bothers me, guys. Nothing. It's just Twitter. Ruben, you bother me. I love Don. Don could never wrong me. It's just, it's come up enough to where I feel the need to address this one time and move on, because there are folks that don't like what I'm doing post-suspension. That's okay. That's fine. There are folks that let me know repeatedly every time I do it, which that's also fine. But if I block you, it's not because I'm bothered by it. It's because when you do something over and over again, it's like, I already know this information, though. You're not contributing anything new to the situation, and I can choose to not see that. And, you know, maybe I didn't make this stuff for you. I'm just having fun. And the thing is, nobody knows, except for a few people, the terms of my release from Twitter jail. And more than that, I am very much a Twitter rules and policies scholar at this point. When you lose your account for 3 months, you become very versed in such a thing. And let me tell you, a lot has changed. And oftentimes change is good. Sometimes it can be bad. But things can't be the same anymore. Twitter is great, but there are flaws. Things like their reporting system and how all that works, even if you don't get reported. Twitter is policed by an automated system, and it is a system that doesn't understand context. And it's unforgiving, even if it was something from like 3 years ago. Like Dalton Trigg getting suspended was ridiculous. He didn't do anything recently. You know what I mean? It's just things are just different, and therefore I have to be different. And you know, if folks don't like that, that's okay. It's not going to bother me. I'm still having a good time. So that's why I'm such a dweeb. And then, yeah, some of it is Bo Burnham's fault. But, and I will say this on a broader issue, like if you don't like someone on the internet and in the kind of plethora of options available to you, there are a couple you could consider. One being shutting the fuck up, and two being like, it's just so easy to keep scrolling. You don't have to.
I think, listen,
it's interest. It's an interesting time to be on Twitter, and a lot of things have changed in the last few years.
I like your baby face turn. I think.
Well, I will say this. Like I, you know, got quite a following off of not shutting the fuck up and going after people on Twitter. And I will tell you, there have been plenty of times where I've wanted to. If you think I've gone soft, you should see my drafts. You just can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You will get suspended for breathing the wrong way. It's just, it's not worth it to lose an account again over something meaningless and toxic, even if it was for humorous intent. So that's just sure. kind of how I feel about all of that. And if you fuck with me still, great. If you don't, if it's the change is too much, you just can't handle it, that's fine. I don't care. I don't have a problem with anybody. Nothing personal. Even with people that I've blocked, it's more just like, I don't need to see the same useless information over and over again, because it's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing.
And that's fair.
My soapbox.
I think your goofiness is a pleasant addition to Mav's Twitter, aside from Sky is Falling, shitting on the off-season, and the meaningless or the very like ceaseless discussions of who's elite, what bigs, or in what trade machine screenshots we've come up with, and all this other stuff. I think it is a fun addition to it, so I endorse your good guy turn.
For what
it's worth.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. So good question by you, and good answer by you, Squish.
Yes, love it. Okay,
it's almost like I set myself up to talk about something.
I know, man.
That is the only time I will address it. So if you fuck with me still, thank you. See anyone confused? You now know why. It's whatever. At the end of the day, it's just Twitter. I'm living my life, having a good time.
Let's see. Next question comes from Matt's. The best fast food you've ever had?
Oh my God.
I've had a lot of
fast food. I know the answer to this immediately.
What is it?
So I was in New York City I lived there at the time, but I was in the New York City for life. My boss and good friend, Casey, turned 60, and he threw a 60th birthday party bash at this midtown bar in kind of the theater district that's like a piano bar. Like, people will get up and sing and shit. A lot of Broadway people will go there and shit like that. It was a cool place. But we got very drunk. And it dissolved into, like, I hit my limit, but then, like, another person from work kept trying to buy everyone drinks, and then finally, like, it was clearly not going to end. It was like, all right, no, we have to leave. So me, my girlfriend at the time, and my other buddy, we ran out of there. Like, if we don't leave, this man's going to just keep making us drink. But, like, it was time to go. And it's about 3 a.m, and New York bars stay open real fucking late, so they were all still going. But, the spins start to arrive for all of us at the same time somehow. You know what I mean? You hit that point like, oh shit, this is about to be not fun drunk. It's about to be bad drunk. And walked into a Five Guys in Times Square at 3 a.m. And it was the greatest fucking fast food I've ever had in my life.
Five Guys is pretty astounding. Just
biting into a heaven burger.
Oh my God. Good. I believe it. I'm gonna go local today, for the sake of probably branching off away from what you guys probably suggest, because I'm gonna go with Plow Burger, which is a plant-based, it's all vegan, and it doesn't taste like it at all, and it's actually one of the few times I can kind of indulge in burger, fries, and all kinds of fun tasty garbage. And not feel garbage afterwards. It doesn't give you the gravy veins afterwards, which I greatly appreciate. So I'll go Plow Burger.
You're about done. He got the gravy veins. Gravy veins and Twitter jail change a man.
I'm trying to think, because like the most of the time I eat fast food, I'm drunk or have been drinking.
Right.
You know what, man? I think like those long fucking lines at a Whataburger, mm-hmm. when it's like 2 a.m. and like I'm not driving, because you know that'd be really terrible. I have, you know, my fiance or someone or a friend or whatever, you know,
sure,
driving, and I bite, like I get the barbecue chicken strip sandwich from Whataburger.
Oh yeah,
that's it. Like that's like the best feeling in the world, like when you get that and you eat it and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, and then my stomach hates me the next day, but that's fine.
Yep, absolutely. It is. It's a perpetual state cycle of self abuse, but it's tasty abuse.
Yep. Let's see. Next question comes from Juan. Mm-hmm. What would be more interesting if football or soccer had technical fouls like basketball, or if basketball had players being sent off and no one can come in and replace them like in football?
I think the soccer technical foul, if that would somehow prevent some of the flopping or like the incessant bitching of every single player on the pitch, I would be A-okay with that. Like, yeah, you get a free penalty kick anytime someone just like, you know what, you were just talking too much. Here's a free shot at your goalie.
I want to see an alternate universe where there's technical fouls in soccer, but it's a flip-flop, right? Soccer gets that basketball trait, mm-hmm. and basketball gets the... You lose a player.
Oh, that's good.
You get a red card out of a basketball game, and it's like one of those really hostile matchups. Suddenly it's 5-on-3, but then the trio still wins or some shit. Like, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah,
I think I would love the whole, like, you know, if you get like a, like, let's say, what do you call it? Not a technical, geez, it's flagrant too. And you get sent off, like, that'd be fucking amazing. Like, I love, like it was a couple years ago, I think, where, like, I think, like, the Lakers, like, didn't have enough players. And so basically whenever, like, and because someone fouled out or whatever, right? And so they didn't have enough players. And so what happens is that you stay in the game, but every single time you foul, it automatically is, like, a free throw for the other player, for the other team. It's fucking amazing. I love that idea. I don't know. I love the idea of just, like, just players being sent off, and like that's like more incentive to not be a fucking asshole on the play, like while you're playing basketball. Totally. But all right, let's see.
I want them to replace flagrant 1 and 2 with yellow and red cards.
Oh, that's fucking good. Same thing.
That'd be great. I want the mental image of a ref holding up a red card at a player, and they're like, "No, it's always so dramatic."
Let's see. Next question comes from Win Zeno. I hope I'm saying that right. Is Dirk Nowitzki classified as a DILF?
I guess he is the dad of Mavericks Twitter.
DILF is Dirk. I mean, is you could go more than one ways. Is it a dad you'd like to F or a Dirk you'd like to F? Or both? There's layers to this.
I guess the answer is yes.
Technically, yeah. Technically the answer is yes no matter what. Because clearly, yeah. Dirk was a DILF to his wife. So... If he's a Dirk,
he's such a pure thing in my life. I don't want it. I don't want him ruined with the smut.
Don't of the sully Twitter. Dirk with this DILF talk.
I don't want to sexualize my hero. Like,
yeah, it's like sexualizing Mr. Rogers. You know,
don't
it's
just sexualize like my goat.
Oh my god. Okay, next question. Wide Miss asks, easy one. Do you guys still believe in K4Z?
Yes.
Yes, I do. Yeah. But I think an offseason will be good. Actual offseason is good for him. And if he can't get together this year, then, you know, I think
But this is the year we find out if this experiment was a failure or not.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen this year, it's over.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to Nico after this. Yeah, I think this is the season, make or break.
Optimist in me wants it all to finally come together this year. So,
good call.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Next question comes from Mariella. She asks, "What show is funnier, The Office or Friends?"
Office.
The Office.
Yeah. The Office. I've maybe watched two episodes for the lack of
laugh track alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that, and I've never, the amount of times I'll rewind an episode of The Office I'm watching to watch something again because it was so funny. Yeah. Numerous. I've never seen every single episode of Friends, but I've seen a lot. There was a throwaway line. I forgot which character's parents came back from vacation. Like, oh, you came back early. And the dad was like, yeah, France. Sucks. I was like, what? Just so random.
Yeah,
France sucks line is the only thing I've rewound in Friends for some reason.
Oh, I've watched maybe like two episodes of Friends ever. Didn't like either of those episodes.
It is a remarkably Caucasian show.
It is very, yeah. That's the thing I realized too. It's not built for me.
There's another Paul Rudd. Anytime Paul Rudd is in Friends,
then. I'm sure. I think one of my reasons I don't like New York is because of Seinfeld and Friends. Those are just two things that are just like, this take place in New York. I'm like, I never want to go there. Fuck those
people. But if you watch the first,
the New Yorkers getting mad.
If you watch the first Ninja Turtles movie, you will then want to go to New York.
The valid, New Yorkers mad.
Valid point.
That is the most New York film ever made.
Yeah.
So fucking great.
Let's see.
I feel like I've talked about that on the pod before, though.
You were late 20 minutes, dude.
Well, Raphael screaming in the tunnel when Splinter gets abducted or whatever.
Right.
And he's like, aah! And it zooms all the way out of like the sewer grate to the sidewalk. And there's some old guy walking by with a cane and he just looks down and like just kind of brushes off like, ugh. Many little New Yorker moments like that where they just don't care about the shenanigans going on. That's so fucking accurate.
Fair enough.
Let's see.
I will say the first Ninja Turtles movie is much better than Friends or any Seinfeld.
Oh, episode. That's a fact.
that's on record.
What was that? Was a guy in a hockey mask being chased by a giant turtle in a trench coat. You're going to LaGuardia, right?
Let's see.
Love this
movie. Next question comes from Coleman. Have you listened to Donda? And if so, what are your thoughts? Donda being the new Kanye album that just released today.
I have not.
Have not. Probably will never on purpose.
Since I'm the only one here that listens to any Kanye.
I've listened to Kanye. I think, My Beautiful Fantasy. I think that's a very important album for production sake, and he's actually one of the first like rappers of his ilk that really talked about that, like some actual being a vulnerable person in a way that is like really admitting his own faults and like his own illnesses. I thought was really important. Considering again, it's more contextual because like most of the music, like for example, a lot of Jay-Z stuff, which I still like, it kind of follows the same hip hop tropes of like, I'm really rich. I am the most successful. Do this dance, you know, like that's kind of like a lot of the hip. And like, I thought for Kanye being where he was in that same, you know, tier of hip hop and like, or I guess you call it, and like he really kind of pushed the genre into a new weird direction. Like Kanye walked so like guys like Frank Ocean and Tyler the Creator could run. So that's how I view that. But I feel like Kanye's now more like watching a very slow car wreck that I think is more sad than it is interesting. And yeah. I don't really like that. I kind of, at some point, I can only watch so many injuries.
So I will say I listened to it this morning because it released at like 7 a.m. mm-hmm. today. It's all right. It's very, Donda is very, it's very like convoluted. It seems like it just goes in so many different directions, which I know that's kind of like his thing now. Just kind of like throw shit at a wall and see what it sticks. I will say, like, he had a lot of features, which cool, like, you know, I will say that the songs that I do like, I liked them more for the people that he brought on, like new verses or whatever, like more than like him, you know, and there's that joke that, you know, he's trying to avoid Drake, blah, 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 which I mean, like Drake's also putting out an album probably pretty soon. So is Kendrick Lamar. So it's just like, like I think out of those three, I'm pretty sure this will probably be the weakest out of them. And I don't know. I just, I'm no longer like actively seeking out Kanye music, you know, like I just saw today, like, oh, like it dropped and I was like, okay, cool. I'll check it out. You know? And it might be for some people, but it's not really for me. So I much prefer his old stuff, like 2013. So,
I don't know what the next Drake album's going to be, but I know it's going to be some shit that he didn't write. And I don't like Drake at all. I'm just going to go ahead and preemptively shit on it. But Kendrick's great.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
He's a thoughtful, like talented person, as opposed to a grooming son of a bitch that and basketball wife that is Drake.
The pictures of him with like that Kentucky game.
He just wants to be a basketball or a pro basketball wife so bad.
Something, yeah.
He just wants to be acknowledged.
Okay, we have one final, two questions from one final person.
Okay.
All right, Katie. So this is actually DM, which is nice because it's cool to get DM questions. It's from Katie. She says, "I'm brand new to Mavs Twitter, mm-hmm. and my question is: do you guys have any tips for a newbie? You know, suggestions on who to follow, who not to follow, do's, don'ts with Mavs Twitter, stuff like that. I appreciate any guidance."
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Reddit Mavericks, Squish 41. Those would be my first. Shout out to Slingy. Slingy's a great follow. I'll go with at Bibbs Corner.
Mavs Network.
Mavs Network's great.
Mavs
Draft. God, I'm forgetting people. Dalton Trigg is a sweet dude. I'll definitely shout him out.
If you don't like sweet, Kirk is there for you as well.
You know what? Kirk's an OG. Like, and I think Kirk's actually he's gotten a lot less venomous in his. I don't know. I really think he's softened a bit. Well, no, he softened a bit. Yeah, and in a way that's more reasonable, not in a way that's just shitting on everything.
Yeah.
And I think he's a realist, and I appreciate his perspective on things. Yeah, and at the very least, he's well thought out in his opinions when he is a negative. Jeff Skinwade, obviously, any of the broadcast team of the Mavericks, I think, is a necessary follow. And really, I think if you go personal, with anybody, like if you lead with "that's a stupid thing and you are stupid for thinking it," like if you just go that aggressive, then you're just going to get that back. I think if you, I try leading with a compliment most of the time, be like, "Oh, I like what you thought of that, but have you, you know," and then like adding to something, but I'm actually not that active of a user. So, might I suggest starting a podcast?
Just got mentioned, Panda Hank.
Panda
for great highlights and just mm-hmm. fun little content and memey stuff. And then I probably butchered Ishtok Franco. Frank, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with him. He contributes to Mavs Moneyball, mm-hmm. but he's Slovenian, does a lot of great breakdowns. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, like, so my suggestions, like, as a newbie is just, like, just be you. I see, like, I don't know, like, it's just weird. Like, because I was kind of Mavs Twitter way back in the day before I even had my account. And I kind of just left because I was like, whatever. You guys kind of fucking suck. No offense, Squish. But when I did come back, I would say just be you. Like, don't worry about what people say. The block button, the mute buttons are there for a reason. There's a lot of different opinions on different things that aren't basketball, that are just there. So, again, it's like anything else in your life. Like, you curate that to what works for you. But, you know, mm-hmm. like if people don't follow me or block me, it's like, okay, that, you know, whatever, like that happens, you know, I don't care. Like, you know, it has no immediate impact on like my money or, you know, like my life. So I don't care. I
said earlier, it's just Twitter.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just real quick. I mean, you're in control of your experience. You can choose what to see and what not to see, and you don't have to feel bad about it either way.
Mm-hmm.
And just have fun.
I would say that I've had a lot of success replying to people. Like, if reply to kind of bigger names first to kind of just, like, you know, get your opinions out there, kind of establish, like, because that's where conversations really start, and that's when people get like, "Oh, I like this person's got good ideas," you know, or whatever. And then for me, I've been just, I quote tweet usually pictures and put my silly, snarky comment to it. And it usually seems to do okay. I've built a Mavs following in that respect. The fact that I just remember being on Twitter it just goes into the void really prior to this podcast. And like now, if I do anything pertaining to Dirk Nowitzki or the Mavs, it seems to do pretty good numbers. So, which has just been a nice release of dopamine. So I greatly appreciate the MFFLs for facilitating my said silliness. And supporting me in other ways too. Like I've had some of our listeners actually show up to some of my music shows, and it's been greatly appreciated. It's grown into more of a community than it has been. Like I've thoroughly enjoyed being not very active, but a thankful participant in Mavs Twitter. So it's been fun. So I
We welcome aboard. Welcome to being a Mass fan.
Yeah. And then her second question is, what?
Go ahead.
No, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
I didn't realize there was a second question.
Yeah, this one, really quick though. If you could punch one basketball player or celebrity in the face, who would it be and why?
Bruce Bowen.
That's a good one.
Fuck that dude.
Fuck
that sharp elbow, dirty fucking player. No, punch Bruce Bowen right in the face.
I mean, let's see. Who would I punch? I don't like to get violent. Basketball player or celebrity. Or celebrity. I'll punch Bryce Patterick. Because he got that blue check before I did. So.
Fantastic.
What about you, Squish?
Skip Bayless.
Ah, that's a good one.
Bayless is a pretty good one.
I'll do it. I'll punch Skip Bayless for America.
I'll do it for free.
I'll do it for the citizens of the world.
All right, and those are all the questions for this week.
Guys, thank you so much for submitting questions. Thank you guys so much for listening. Y'all are fantastic. You can follow us at @_MFFLs. We are a little bit more active during the season, but we appreciate any support in the off season. And you guys, of course, submitting questions, which is primarily what we do on this podcast at this point. So we're very excited to entertain you guys and be in your ears. We're thankful for there's a lot of podcasts out there. We appreciate that you're listening to ours. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.
Bye.